Hey, y'all. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. You know what? I got a really cool dude on the show today, Jerry Smith. Anytime somebody has been through adversity and is able to overcome it, we want to hear about that because it is always something that we can look at and maybe take a piece or two out of their story to apply to our lives as ex-offenders. Jerry's written a couple of books that chronicle his overcoming adversity. We're going to be talking to Jerry pretty soon here, right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, me again. You know, it's very important for those of us that got into trouble because of addictions to, now that we're free again, to be sure that we address our free time. You know, free time can be your enemy if you don't be constructive with it. And one of the things that I've done, and I know a lot of you have done this as well, is I've taken up playing music, and I use something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. The Jam Buddy Chord Chart teaches you something called the Nashville Numbering System, which is very cool because it enables you to play songs in any key, and it only costs about $3 or $4. The way you find one is you go to angiesbanjo.com, click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, or you can just click on the link next to the podcast here. If you're into playing music, you need to check one of these out. I think you can even see a free sample there on Angie's site. So it's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. Check it out. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Jerry Smith is here with us today. He's the author and public speaker, and he's very active in helping the public become aware of pulmonary fibrosis. His books, Does God Give Us More Than We Can Bear, and Tragedy, Abandonment, and Murder Led to Happiness, are all super testaments of overcoming adversity. Jerry, welcome to Journey of Hope.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the first book, and, you know, I guess the obvious question is, does God, in fact, give us more than we can handle?
Well, I'm a firm believer that no, he doesn't.
Okay.
After, you know, experiencing my life and going back and looking over it late in life, after everything that had happened, it then dawned on me that God has a purpose for everybody, and in my case, I can see that what I went through is just a typical case of God preparing a person to do his purpose, and that prepares us. And I find that a lot of people that, you know, that experience a lot of things and nothing ever changes, from talking with them, it appears to me that, number one, although I believe that God, you know, does have a purpose for them, they either are not listening or they are refusing to accept it. So when I look back now, I see that in accepting when he revealed his purpose for me, then all of these things I went through have helped me to talk to people. It's helped me to prepare people to try to change their lives somewhat, whether it's childhood traumas, dysfunctional families, or diseases. Because my situation is, it was hands-on, you might say, is because how many of us have experienced where maybe someone loses a child, and so many people will come up and say, look, I know just how you're feeling, when you, in fact, know that they haven't lost a child, so they really don't know. And sometimes that makes people mad.
It does. And I run into that a lot with people saying, you know, it really must have been terrible for you to be incarcerated. And even my wife, it is hard, and she and I have had this conversation, as hard as she tries to empathize with me, she can never really fully understand what it was like in there. You know,
exactly.
I mean, she can try, but yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You really did. And it does make people angry sometimes. So how do we deal with that?
Well, I guess that's an age-old problem that's always going to continue. But in my case, when I talk to so many people, from people that contact me, they hear me on radio or TV or whatever, and they contact me and they tell me their specific problem and ask if I have any help. And I always just start off with telling them that, well, I overcame by the fact that I found God, I found hope, I clung to that hope, and part of that was to forgive, to learn about forgiveness and to forgive people. Mm-hmm. And then when I started letting go of that, you know, holding on to not forgiving people, when I let go of that, that started letting the positive influences come into my life, which mm-hmm. allowed happiness to come in. And so I found out that holding on and clinging to anger and resentment and so forth, that kept you angry when you thought that you were getting even with the other person.
Mm-hmm. What I've always done in that particular situation that you mentioned is I think the way that you do. And, you know, I kind of figure that even if it's condescending when somebody makes a comment to you about your past, that, you know, it's better than a kick in the butt. I mean, at least there's something, you know, some kind of concern there. As minute as it really may be, at least there's something there, you know. So that's a good way of looking at it. And I like what you say about pulling out the positive. Now, you were diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis at age 64, and you have fought other battles prior to that. Tell us about those other battles and just where your low point was.
Okay, well, you know, the people would say this is ironic, but when I was diagnosed with that disease, and even 9 years later, the majority of the people in this country don't know about it. They don't know what pulmonary fibrosis is. They have no clue to it. And yet it is a rampaging, exploding disease. And even the doctors treat it, they don't. They treat you, the pulmonary doctors treat you, but they don't do anything for you. I found out that they started, you know, all they could say was, look, there's no medicine, there's no hope, there's no treatment. We'll just measure your lung capacity every 6 months for the rest of your life, just so that it, actually all we're doing is telling you, estimating how much time you have left to live. So, anyway, in getting that diagnosis, I can see where all of the things I went through in my life prepared me to confront that disease. And by that, I mean the fact that starting off with all of the tragedies I had, the rejections, 8 or 9 or 10 times throughout my life, I was rejected everywhere. When my mother's born, a deaf mute, and her mother died at age 31, giving childbirth. My mother was abandoned then. Since she was a deaf mute, nobody wanted her because she was handicapped. She grows up without parents. When she's grown, all she can do is find a job working as a live-in housekeeper. Mm-hmm. She's raped by the homeowner.
Man.
She's out there on her own. She, of course, gets into a home for unwed mothers, and I'm born from that rape. And then nobody will take us, and so she abandons me, and that trend just continues on. So each step. During the first year of my life, well, she met a man from the deaf school that she had been to. They dated, married. He lived in a different state. She came and got me to try to live with them. Well, her husband forced her to get rid of me by filing for a divorce. And then she takes me to a friend of hers in a different state, that was married and couldn't have children. That woman started the adoption, but within 6 months she got pregnant. Then she canceled the adoption, so my mother had to come back again and take me, pick me up, take me then back to Louisiana, original state. Her brother at that time decided he could raise me. He was 35 years old and had 4 kids of his own, but in less than 6 months he died of a heart attack. So at that point there was nothing left but for her to have a friend drive us to the welfare office, Louisiana welfare office, and she penned a note on my shirt with my name on it. It was early the next morning, told me to go up and knock on the door when I turned around while the car was driving off. Well, then I grew up in foster care. But then I worked, when I got out, I worked my way through college, got married. In my first marriage, my in-laws-to-be, they didn't like me, and so they had me investigated, found out that I was an orphan. Therefore, as they would tell their daughter, he's trash, you can't marry him, he doesn't know who his parents are. Well, we married anyway. They refused to come to the wedding. They never accepted me into their family to the day that I was gone. Then my wife was murdered. Later, my grandson turned 15 and was killed in an auto accident on his birthday. After all of this anger and depression that had continued through most of my life, I attempted suicide. Hmm. Well, the point being that I had to cling to whatever I could to survive. And the thing that I developed was the attitude that I would never, ever, ever give up. You could beat me as a child, and for the most part, for example, I wouldn't cry or I wouldn't let you see me because I wasn't going to give you satisfaction for anything because I was stubborn and hard-headed and not going to give up. And so what I'm getting at is that that molded me into a type of person that had a wall around them. You couldn't get to me. And so when I got my diagnosis, and the doctor in his office that Friday afternoon said, well, Jerry, this disease, there is no known cause, no medicine, no treatment, no cure worldwide. There's nothing we can do but just measure you every 6 months for your lung capacity to see how much time you have left to live. We think it's 6 months to 2 years. I said, well, and I kept pushing him. Well, there must be some kind of medicines or something to kind of, you know, maybe delay this. And he got irritated. The doctor got irritated. Mm-hmm. And finally said, look, you have a death sentence and there's just no hope. Well, at that mm-hmm. point, I gave up as far as pestering him and said, well, then what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. He said, go home and wait for the end. So based on that, I went home. I was angry. I was depressed. I was experiencing all the different rages and emotional feelings there was. And I went home, and I even screamed at God, why did you allow another thing to overwhelm me? And in doing that, I started reliving my life, just like I mentioned here on the radio a while ago. Mm-hmm. All of these different experiences, and I blame God for every one of them. But, you know, it took me about 40 minutes of, you might say, reliving my life. And when I got back up to the current time, I probably spent 30 minutes reliving my life and blaming God. But all of a sudden, I was cool, calm, collected. My anger was gone. I was just mild. And what that did is that allowed me to remember. And I said, well, you know what? I just revisited my life. I have never given up, and I'll be damned if I'm going to give up now. Mm-hmm. What can I do? I had a clear mind. If I had not gone through that experience, and I think God allowed me to go through that so that I could get this out of this junk, you might say, out of my mind, and I could concentrate. I could think. I could, and in doing that, so what can I do? Well, the only thing I can think of is I can get on the internet. Anybody can do that, and I can Google every combination of words there is in reference to pulmonary fibrosis, doctors, treatments, medicines, cures. Mm-hmm. And I did. So I did that for the next couple of weeks. So what I'm saying is, if I had not probably had not experienced many things that I did, I might have done like so many people I talked to today. That they get this death sentence from their doctor. They go home, they give up, and believe me, when you give up all hope, I think you die quicker.
Hey, y'all, send me an email. Let me know how you're doing. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I'd like to know how you're doing.
We're striking out or doing those things that we're doing, if it's drugs or crime or whatever, is it because of anger? And generally it is of some type. Is it anger against somebody, against our parents, against people that caused us a lot of childhood traumas or dysfunctions or whatever? And if it is, then we've got to look at that and say, but now we want to be happy, and the only answer to that happiness is we have got to get over whatever this cause. If it goes back to childhood and to families and people, then we've got to look and see, are we angry at them today? Are we still carrying anger and we want revenge and these kind of things in our mind because we think we're getting even with them? If that's the case, then we need to study about forgiveness.
What does it take? Is it just determination? Is it God? How do you do that?
I believe it's a combination. Number one, obviously, I believe that you have to believe in God or find God, and therefore, in doing that, find hope. And when you read and understand and find out that there is hope, then number one, then number two, you've got to look at yourself and say, you know, do I want to live? Do I want to survive? Do I want to come out of this? If I do, what am I doing? If I'm a, let's say I'm an offender of some kind or something to have been in prison, for example, which I haven't. But if I have and I want to change my life, I've got to analyze myself, look inside my heart and say, why am I doing these things? Am I striking out against the public because, hey, the public, the government, the country, they owe me something because of what happened in my childhood.
I think that ex-offenders can greatly benefit from reading your books, Jerry. I think that even though you haven't been to prison, the mountains you've climbed are similar to what a lot of us have been through. How do we find your books?
It's the website, excuse me, is HTTP, you know, semicolon LL, but anyway, it's jerrysmith.org. It's about a 6-page. It's got information on everything, the diseases, the books, the overcoming. Like I said, 6 full pages of it. And then my email, I have an email address, jerry@jerrysmith.org. They can feel free to email me and say, look, you know, I read this or that, whatever, but I've got a particular question about this or that that I would like more detail from. They're happy to do. I'm happy to, you know, talk to anybody on the phone. When they go through my website, if there's any information on there that they like or they're interested in, feel free to just download it and print it. It's free. Help in any way that I can.
Well, Jerry, we appreciate you being here. Jerry Smith, his books are called Does God Give Us More Than We Can Bear? And Tragedy and Abandonment and Murder Led to Happiness. Hey, before I let you go, did I read that you were friends with old Zig Ziglar?
He wrote the forewords for all 3 books, and wow. I was the last person, unfortunately, that he ever was able to write a foreword for. You know, he passed away at the end of November.
Yes, he did.
And
wow.
It was quite a loss. I mean, we got to be such good friends. It was just, he was like a father. He's a mentor to me. Well, he's the one that encouraged me to write. He not only encouraged me, he bugged me to death to write the first book because his oldest daughter, Susan, died from pulmonary fibrosis.
Is that 16 right?
16 years ago.
I'll be
and
darn.
He traveled all over the world looking for answers and mm-hmm. could not save her.
Well, Jerry, just another reason why we should take a look at your books. One more time, the books are called Does God Give Us More Than We Can Bear? And Tragedy and Abandonment and Murder Led to Happiness. Jerry Smith, thank you for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you for having me. Let's just get the word out there. There's always hope, but you got to ask for it, you got to believe in it, and you got to help yourself.
Thanks, Jerry. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, more on the Journey of Hope. I'm Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this. Time to go already. I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.